Welcome to this lesson on Roller Blueprint Subpolish in Ableton Live 12 for jungle and old school DNB vibes. In this one, we're building the kind of low end that feels proper heavy, but still tight enough to let the break breathe. The goal is not just a big bass sound. The goal is a bass system, a stable mono sub, a moving mid layer, and a drum relationship that locks into the pocket without smearing the whole drop. If you've ever made a bass line that sounded massive and solo, but suddenly swallowed the kick and blurred the break, this lesson is going to help a lot. We are staying in that intermediate zone here, so I'm going to assume you already know your way around Ableton, and we'll focus on making smarter production choices rather than just piling on plugins. First thing to remember, in DNB, the bass is the engine of the track. Especially in rollers and jungle-leaning old-school styles, the bass has to do several jobs at once. It needs to carry weight, create movement, leave room for the drums, and stay solid on big systems and in mono. So from the start, think of the low end like a system, not just a sound. Let's start by building the rack. On a MIDI track, create an instrument rack and make two chains. One chain is for the sub, and one chain is for the mid bass. This split is one of the cleanest ways to control low end in Ableton Live 12, because it lets you treat the deep weight and the character layer separately. On the sub chain, load operator or wave eatable and keep it as close to a sine wave as possible. Pure, simple, and mono. No unnecessary brightness. No wide stereo nonsense. The sub is the foundation, so it should stay right in the center and behave consistently. On the mid chain, load a second operator, wave eatable, or even analog, and use a detuned saw or a restyle waveform. This is where the movement lives. This layer can be a little dirtier, a little wider, and a little more expressive, but we're going to high pass it so it doesn't fight the sub. A good starting point is to keep the sub level conservative before processing, somewhere around -12 to -6 dB, and leave yourself headroom on the overall bass track. In this style, it's way better to have a controlled low end that hits hard in context than a huge soloed bass that destroys the mix. Now let's program the actual phrase. For old school jungle and roller vibes, you usually want restraint, not a million notes, not a melody that turns the track into something else. Think repeated notes, syncopated gaps, and a phrase that works with the break rather than trying to dominate it. Start with a simple two-bar idea. Maybe a long root note on beat one, then a shorter note on the offbeat. Maybe a held note that carries through the bar, then a quick pickup into the next phrase. At first, keep it to two or three notes per bar maximum. That's enough to create motion without stepping on the drums. This is important. Write the bass with the break in mind. Don't build the bass in isolation and hope it fits later. Put your drum loop in early and let the bass answer the rhythm. Leave space for the snare. Leave space for ghost notes. Avoid placing too many bass hits right on top of the kick transient unless that's a very deliberate choice. Now let's shape the sub properly. On the sub chain, if you're using operator, keep it simple. One oscillator, sine wave, no extra complexity. Set the amplitude envelope with a fast attack, somewhere near 0 to a few milliseconds, and a release that's just long enough to feel musical but not blurry. If you want a tighter feel, shorten the release. If you want a more rolling feel, let the notes sustain and control the length with MIDI. After that, add utility and set the width to 0%. That forces the sub mono, which is exactly where you want it. The sub should be dead center. No widening, no stereo tricks. Keep it solid. If you want slides or connected notes, you can use mono or legato behavior, but keep the actual tone simple. If you want the phrase to feel more alive, use velocity or note length changes to affect the mid layer, not the sub. The sub should stay emotionally stable. The movement belongs elsewhere. Now for the mid layer, this is where the character comes in. Load wave eatable or analog and use a detuned saw, a restack, or something with a little harmonic richness. Then high pass it, usually somewhere around 100 to 160 Hz, so it doesn't overlap with the sub. That separation is crucial. A very useful chain on the mid layer is auto filter, then saturator, then EQ8, then utility. Start with auto filter and automate the cutoff over time. This gives the bass movement and tension. Then add saturator for a bit of grit and density. You don't need a ton here. Even 2 to 6 dB of drive can go a long way. After that, use EQ8 to clean up mud around 200 to 400 Hz if needed, and trim harshness if the top end gets too brittle. That res or mid bass layer is what gives the roller its attitude. The sub gives the floor. The mid gives the emotion and motion. That combination is what makes the bass line feel complete. Now bring the drums into the picture and start balancing the low end properly. This is where people often go wrong. They dial in a bass sound in solo, then wonder why the groove feels broken once the break and kick are back in. In DNB, especially jungle and old school styles, the break carries a lot of low mid energy, and the kick and bass need to coexist without turning into a blob. So check the drum loop and the bass together early. Use EQ8 on the break or drum bus, if necessary, to remove unnecessary rumble below roughly 25 to 40 Hz. If the break is muddy, carve a little around 180 to 300 Hz. If the kick and the sub are colliding, don't be afraid to make a small adjustment either in the kick's tone or in the bass note choice. This is one of those moments where arrangement solves mix problems faster than processing. If a bass note is stepping on a kick, maybe shorten it, maybe move it off the downbeat, maybe leave a rest. A tiny gap can clean up the groove better than a whole chain of plugins. Also, keep checking mono as you go. Put utility on the bass bus, hit the mono button, and listen. If the bass collapses or shifts too much, that's a sign the stereo content is doing too much work. Anything below around 120 Hz should be effectively mono. Width belongs in the harmonics, not the sub. Next up, dynamics. On the bass group, use compressor or glue compressor likely. We're not trying to flatten the life out of it. We just want a bit of consistency. A ratio of 2 to 1 or 3 to 1 is usually enough. Let the attack breathe a little so the bass still feels punchy, and use a release that follows the groove. You're usually looking for just a few dB of gain reduction on the loudest notes. If the bass is too spiky, a bit of saturator before the compressor can help smooth it out. If the bass is getting too dull or lifeless, back off on the compression and let the MIDI note lengths and automation do more of the work. And that's a big intermediate lesson right there. In DNB, too much compression can kill the groove. Sometimes the best fix is not another plugin. Sometimes it's simply a shorter note, a rest, or a better rhythmic placement. Now we start giving the roller some life with automation. This is where the bass turns from a loop into a tune. Automate the auto filter cutoff on the mid layer over 8 bars. Start darker and more restrained in the first few bars, then gradually open it up as the section develops. You can also automate saturator drive slightly into transitions, or make subtle changes to the utility width on the mid layer during switch-ups. Tiny volume moves can help too, but don't rely on level alone. Filter movement gives the bass a much more musical sense of progression. A really effective arrangement shape is something like this. The first 4 bars are darker and more filtered. Bars 5 and 6 open up. Bar 7 gives you a short fill or dropout for tension, and bar 8 gives a little lift or a gap before the next phrase. That kind of breathing room is classic old school energy. It keeps the track feeling alive without overcomplicating it. And yes, silence matters. A tiny gap before a snare fill or turnaround can feel huge in a roller. Don't be afraid to let the bass step back for a moment. That contrast is part of the impact. At this point, if the bass is feeling good in MIDI, try resampling it. Create a new audio track and record a few bars of the bass. Once it's printed, you can slice it into phrases, tighten the tails, reverse a tiny swell into a transition, or cut one variation for a turnaround. Resampling is powerful because it commits the character. It lets you capture distortion, filter movement, and timing quirks in a way that feels more concrete and arrangement-friendly. You can even layer a resampled fragment quietly under the original MIDI bass for extra grit, especially if you want the second drop to feel rougher and more developed than the first. Now for one of the final checks, stereo and phase. The sub stays mono. No compromise there. The mid layer can have width, but only after the low end is safely cleared out. If you use chorus, subtle unison, or any stereo movement, check mono immediately after. If the bass falls apart, simplify it. Don't fight the physics of playback systems. A bass that sounds wide and impressive in stereo can disappear on a club system if the phase is wrong. So use utility to check mono, listen for any loss of power, and keep the low-end image clean. That's especially important in DNB, where low-end needs to translate hard and fast. Before you call it done, compare your work to a reference track in a similar style. Don't just listen to the whole tune. Focus on short loops, maybe 4 to 8 bars at a time. Compare the bass density, the sub impact, how much space the snare gets, and how busy the bass line feels. That's a much better way to learn than trying to compare entire mixes all at once. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Don't make the sub too loud in solo. Solo is for troubleshooting, not for mixing decisions. Don't let the res invade the sub range. High pass the mid layer properly. Don't overwiden the bass. Keep the important low end centered. Don't use too many notes. In this style, less is often more. Don't compress the groove out of the track, and don't ignore the decay of the break, because jungle brakes carry a lot of low mid-tail, and that tail can cloud the whole drop if your pace sustains too long. If you want to go a little further, here are some stronger stylistic moves. Try a three-state bass system, a sub-only version for breakdowns or sparse sections, a cleaner sub plus mid version for the main drop, and a dirtier version for the second half of the tune. That keeps the track evolving without rewriting the entire bass line. You can also use alternating note lengths, so one bass hit sustains and the next one is clipped short. That little contrast makes the bass feel more played and less looped. Another useful trick is octave displacement. Let the sub hold the root, then bring that same pitch up an octave in the mid layer on specific hits. That gives the phrase a harder accent without adding clutter.